Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Halloween. Welcome to A Pretty Sweet Tease. And tonight it is a cauldron of sin and wicked things. And in honor of Halloween, that was I Want Candy by Bow Wow Wow. It was recorded by The Strangeloves originally back in 1965, if you can believe that, because I never knew it was a cover. Who knew? My youth keeps on breaking because, let's see, that's a cover. Quiet Riots, Come On, Feel the Noise is a cover, and Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Want to Have Fun, a cover. Guy sang it originally. Go figure. So if you didn't know any of that little bit of pop culture, you know, knowledge, feel free to look them up because they don't sound anything like what we're used to. And so this only got to number 11, and I think it's fabulous and makes me want to eat the M&Ms that my kids gave me when they got home. So I won't. I will save you the crunching noises. So let's say hello to Raconteur. Hello, hello.
I'll get you, my pretty.
And your little dog, too. And so A Pretty Sweet Tease is part of the lineup at A Team of Voices, which you can find on allpoetry.com. It is the world's largest online poetry site, so it's free to join. So log in, come find us at A Team of Voices, find the link to the Naughty Room, and that is where you will find all the good things about this show. So A Cauldron of Sin, Rack. I get all these, how does it go? Now I can't remember.
Bubble, Toil, and Trouble?
That's the one. you can read my mind. There you go. Now I've got Alan Parsons Project all up in my brain. Oh, my goodness. I'm scatterbrained. Every Sunday night, I think I have my shit together, and I don't. Oh, by the way, this is a rated R show. So we do talk sex here, hence, the tease. And we do say, fuck here on occasion. So if this offends you, please feel free to check out the plethora of other shows in the Team of Voices lineup. We've got game shows. We've got talk shows. We've got picture prompts and word banks, and everything is a different flavor. So there is something for everybody. So if anything on this show offends you, feel free to move on to the next show in line. So it is Halloween. So there is spooky things, and it's the end of spooky season, and my heart always breaks a little bit until I realize that Christmas is just around the corner, because I kind of love the ho-ho-ho. And so I'm not a big, you know, pumpkin spice gal. I am a big Halloween gal and a giant, giant Christmas person. So, you know, to me, Thanksgiving is just a lot of food in between the seasons. But I digress. So a cauldron of sin and wicked things. You know, I have to say, this was a little difficult for me. Love the idea, but I have such a wide berth of normal that I don't know what wicked looks like, really. You know, because I'm just like, oh, no, that's okay. Oh, that's cool. Oh, more power to you. Because nothing fazes me. So I'm like, what exactly is wicked? So you start thinking along the lines of, well, what would, like, my grandma think is a little foul. But I am my mother's daughter, and she was her mother's daughter before her. So my family just has this really wide berth of, it's cool. So I don't know from wicked. I know from naughty, though. So I brought some pieces, and we have a couple on our little topic board there. And so I'm hoping that they're wonderfully inspired. I tend to just kind of run dark anyway, my usual naughty rights, because it's just who I am. Well, I run naughty and or dark in all of my rights for the most part. I'm a happy person, I can't write happy. It's like I need to purge all the stuff I don't want to hold on to and keep the happy for myself, because I'm greeted that way. So, you, however, yeah, right? That's true. But you do humor wonderfully. You ride that edge. You twist things up. Your rights are always interesting. So I'm really looking forward to what you brought us tonight. And, yeah, me, I'm just...
No, I was went through the same thing you did. I looked at it and turned it around, and I kept coming back to the same thing. So I kind of took your cauldron a little literally and gave you a legend for a cauldron. But
oh,
I called it a soup kettle.
Boil people?
No, but I called it a soup kettle.
Oh, there you go. See, I don't run dark. It's fine. And so I spent my day finishing up costumes, like literally sewing a giant cat tail and coloring the tip of it and making this badge and doing whatever the heck else. I had to make a tie from scratch because nobody sells ties. And even the men's warehouse is out of, like, most button-down shirts in normal sizes. They haven't had any new ties in who knows how long. Can't find a tie. Like, I wanted a cheap clip-on tie for a costume. Couldn't find one anywhere. So I had to deconstruct some shirts to make a shirt for this costume. So I just took one of those shirts and made a tie. You know, it's yeah, the birth of whatever necessity is the birth of all, I have no crap how that goes because I can't brain today. But that's how I spent most of my day. I made a book, things like that. What?
I want to make Thai. I grabbed the coconut milk and a little curry.
Oh, that's funny. See, now I'm hungry. Stop that.
That's my idea.
My peanut M&M's were bad enough. I have to go out to eat. I'm telling you. But I love spooky. Nobody ever comes to this house because the houses here are really far apart and the gates are way at the end of the property. They're not up by the house. So nobody ever comes. They take their kids to normal neighborhoods and so whatnot. It's okay, fine. So, but my kids made out really, really well. Kids are not what the show is about. I'm going to shut up now. But they're happy. They just got here. So if you hear them in the background, my apologies. That's some sugared up little brats. I love them. And but hopefully they'll stay on the other side of the house and not come bring that noise here. So, a cauldron of sin. Now, we went over the sins last week. And so when I think of a cauldron of sin, it's like, why pick and choose? There are so many lovely ones to dance with. And so, you know, you mix them all up and you come out with, well, I can do this and you can do that. And let's see what Happy Halloween really looks like. And so I'm hoping we have a little bit of that going on. So I tend to bring darkness and whatnot to my rites. And I don't even really think my naughty rites are that dark, but apparently they are. There's a little biting. There's a little, you know, stuff. Things tend to not run in an equal vein. But to me, that's all normal. So, you know, we'll just call my usual darkness vanilla swirl. Not so much the hot fudge.
You still lend yourself to the idea that it's not naughty unless you do it right. I mean, you know, people talk, and people have their own ideas about what's naughty and what isn't naughty and what's, you know, I mean, you strike me as you live in the moment, so you know, it ain't naughty in the moment to me. You know, it just kind of feels natural. You have to be comfortable and at ease to enjoy yourself, and you know, otherwise you got a big fat broomstick up your ass. Happy Halloween, you know.
Well,
and
it is Halloween.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you want to enjoy it. So I'm a big believer in it. If it doesn't feel right, then it doesn't belong there, you know. And to me, that's, you know, that goes along with what you're saying. You know, you may get, you know, the red furrows up and down your back from a few fingernails, but you know, that's not something that you plan ahead of time. It's like, okay, this is the part where we flip over now, you know.
Souvenirs,
porno script, you know, FP2, FP3.
OMG. But I never understood, you know, where as I was growing up, where people were like, well, this is dirty or that's dirty. I'm like, I'm in high school. What the heck? Why? Because I was raised that, you know, if it's a little dirty, like physically, you know, messy, then that's when you know it's good. So I never understood a negative connotation to, but that's dirty.
Shit.
I'm like, thank you. You know, of course it is. It's just so funny, you know. I know so many like adults, like middle-aged adults that are still inhibited to the point where I feel bad. Like there's no, like there's silence. I'm like, someone ain't doing something right if you can hold back that well. And you know, they don't
oh,
do a mess. And I'm like, first of all, it's supposed to be sweaty. You know, every the body is made a certain way. Things happen. And how do you be against that and still enjoy the act? I do not understand that concept.
Yeah.
So, you know, but this is a rated R show. So let's not get into bodily fluids. We're good. And so, because, you know, open that door and I'm just afraid of what's going to come through on the radio. That's just not okay.
It's supposed to be dirty, that's all.
Yeah, you know, so a cauldron of sin and wicked things. So there's the nail dragon, there's the teeth that, you know, also can drag across your skin or catch a pulse point, or you know, and then there's something to be said. You know, I lead into things with that so often. When I say there's something to be said, here's another 10 minutes of me jibber jabbering. There's something to be said about I might even make it a topic at some point about tantric touch or near touch, where it's not about anything truly sexual to be sensual. And when you can heighten arousal with just the feeling of your hot breath on somebody's skin, or the anticipation of touch, or a gentle grazing of fingers across the neck, anything, or across the jawline, that one always gets me. Anything like that, it heightens things. And if you can stay, if you have enough willpower, usually I don't, to stay in those moments for a longer period of time, everything should ease right on into where it needs to go, because the body works that way. Those heightened senses of arousal before any true touch, before any dealing with erogenous zones, before clothes even have to come off, it makes everything happen faster. It makes everything happen more potently. And so there's a lot to be said for building that up. It's not all about, you know, the act itself. Yeah. Or the many acts themselves with whatever y'all are doing. you know, what's wicked? I know sin. I know sin very, very well. But what is truly wicked? You know, I mean, I've been called a witch, you know, with those letters, alternate letters, whatever. But I have been.
The bee is silent.
What was that?
The bee is silent.
Well, you know, there you go. And I have been called a sorceress, which I find absolutely adorable because, oh, how cute is that? But I was like, I can't help it if you have no willpower. I have no actual hold over you, but it's nice that you think I do. So go fetch, you know? Don't tell me I yield some kind of power, because I will make you do things. So, you know. So there's that.
Well,
a little bit about
well, you
me.
Know,
there you go.
Well, you know, you make us do things anyway. We just don't tell you.
OMG. Yes, yeah, so some things are best kept, you know, private.
I don't need to know that. Thank you.
OMG. Yeah, you know, I don't mind anything that I don't know about, obviously, but, you know, some things I don't need to know, and I definitely don't need to see, just putting that out there. Yeah, no. If it's unsolicited, it's unsolicited for a reason. Keep them all to yourselves. Just putting that out there, because I've had some experiences.
Even when you're asking.
You know, it's nuts. It's nuts. I'm gonna read a piece. Well, you know, yeah, pun intended, it's okay. And so I've got addicted or undeniably addicted, smoke trail into demon slayer, and incubus, my demon in words. Since you are the only person listening to me right now, you pick and I will read one.
Incubus in words.
Incubus, my demon in words. I'm going to put this up and read just to you and anybody who might listen to this later, because I don't know that there's anybody on the board at all. If you are listening, feel free to pop in the room and say hello. I'll only call you out that once just to say hi. And I won't give you too much guilt for not calling in, because, you know, feel free to join us. We jibber-jabber and learn our ways.
I think they're not used to being able to call in yet.
Oh, well, the number's on the board. The link's on the board. For anybody who is listening and doesn't know what the number is, it is 646-668-2837. Hope you wrote that down. Call me. And this is Incubus. That is not my home phone number. That is to call into the studio just so that you know. That's hysterical. You know, that never even occurred to me. Okay, so I'm going to read this piece. It's just, you know, a poem. It's Incubus, my demon in words. And it goes like this. He rides shadows into my dreams, tickling ivories and charming snakes, pulling skin to the surface in moist expectation. Midnight begs attention with onyx eyes that capture a spirit from the wind. At my feet, pulling desire from my pores, setting fire to the air, his gaze touches me in black lines, mapping out the trail his forked tongue will follow. Playing responses like music, serenaded in sighs and a chorus of quivers, fangs pierce veins, collecting life, ingesting our ethereal union, feeding me the fruit of Eden, him cloaked in my madness, me digesting his. End poem.
See, I love when you do stuff like this. Just the words, the idea behind it. When you use the word words, I mean, my warped brain. I could twist it in a million different ways. And when you use them the way that you do in something like this, you know, I could say that this is why people call you a witch. You know, because you weave a spell. You weave a spell, and your words take on a different quality. You know, the meaning is still the same and everything else, but it's somewhat the intention behind it that you're revealing. You're kind of pulling back a little of the unknown and removing that doubt that causes some people to hesitate when they approach someone else. You know, there's always that uncertainty, the fear of rejection. But when you have that welcoming word or those flirty interchanges, it changes everything. You kind of hinge everything when you say, at least for me, you know, in words, and then I latch onto the words and immediately start reading into them, like you were saying before, you know, and they take on that a completely different meaning when they're combined with the physicality. Oh man, it is a lovely little thought.
Trick or treat. You give me too much credit, but I gladly accept for those rare occasions. I'm feeling a little feisty, so thank you. And I giggle to myself with him cloaked in my madness, me digesting his, because to me that is about as naughty as this thing gets. But it's you know, to people that don't get my naughtiness, it doesn't really. It's a lot more accepting somebody for who they are and not so much things that are naughty.
And well, I mean, I think that's part of the beauty of it. When you write something, I'll call it open-ended like that, you know, and people can interpret it, you know, you do that on purpose a lot, and not you specifically, but, you know, it tends to lead to some beautiful interpretations that, you know, you didn't necessarily mean, you know, and it kind of embraces the thought a little more, I think, because when you leave it open-ended like that, you know, someone else's, you know, their mind isn't forced down a specific card or you know, in a specific direction, and it fits more into their personality, so it's more telling when they read it what they're thinking, what they say, and it's more of a true measure of, I think, what the words mean, because it's open like that, and it's not, you know, a specific, like, you know, well, I was trying to intimate this, or I was implying that, you know, I was going for, you know, maybe you were, but, you know, I like leaving it open like that just to see who doesn't think like me, or who does, for that matter, you know. So that's that kind of interpretation. That's what that leads me to do. So.
I'm sorry, that was a car. I'm sure that was as loud in your ears as it was in mine.
I heard absolutely nothing.
Oh, okay. Sorry, then. It was just so weird, like, because people around here, like, just take their mufflers off. You don't go racing up and down my street at 2 o'clock in the morning. They literally give, like, no shit. It's horrible. So that was really loud in my microphone, which plays in my ears. So my bad. But, you know, that's art on all levels, poetry especially, because it's what's closest to my heart. When I personally write something, anything, doesn't matter what it is, I write because I write in very greedy, selfish ways, and I'm okay with that. You know, it's better than Xanax, so I'm good with it. And So I don't really think what people are going to think of it or what people are going to interpret as. And I'm always surprised by things because I'm like, oh, all right. Well, if you see it, it's there. And I love that. And hold on a second. Here is my better half, the queen herself. Hello, 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 hello. Miss Sweet Pea, how are you?
I'm good, darling. How are you?
I am fabulous. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Trick or treat.
Listen, I'll take a trek any day.
OMG, that's your duty.
Mm-hmm. Watch me pull a rabbit out of my memoir.
OMG. Well, I'd like to see that show.
As long as he's furry, I can pet him.
Oh, I don't think he will deny a petting session. You're good.
All right.
So funny. Oh, my goodness. You are much naughtier than I. I am so glad you're here.
Is that why the rabbit died in the middle?
So it is the three of us for a little while. Silk was on the board. He'll be joining us shortly. Whew, so I was just saying, you know, it's a cauldron of sin and wicked things, but I have such a wide berth than normal, I don't know what the heck wicked is, you know? I'm just like, oh, no, that's cool. No, but kid, you think so? Normal everyday stuff to me, you know? So I'm a little
normal everyday
sideways. Yeah. So I don't know from wicked.
Well, you
I know
are
from, ooh, that sounds interesting, you know?
Ooh, ah, wow.
I like those ahs, those uncontrollable whimpering ahs, especially just putting that out there.
Ooh.
Sweet Pete is the wizard of ahs.
Oh, that's brilliant. I can see it, and I can see you saying, you know, I'm going to get you, my pretty.
I'm going to get you, my pretty.
Oh. And doggy style.
OMG! That's hysterical. That is hysterical. Well, you know, sometimes you need spanking, sometimes you need to be bent over for other reasons. That's, you know, grown up things. We're good.
Ooh. Yeah, well, you say bent over, you know, that's funny because, you know, in normal conversation when someone uses the word bent, you know, you could tell with how their mind works.
Oh, my goodness. So what do you think is wicked sweet? Because I have no guideline for wickedness. I don't know from pure vanilla. I wasn't made that way.
Huh.
I don't
know.
You're kind of like me.
Her skin is pure vanilla.
I don't know what wicked is. I mean, wicked is such a broad. I mean, you can be a little wicked, you know, if you entice someone and don't do it, it's a little wicked. Like, come hither, and no. Let me slap
your
hand.
Oh, well, it is a tease.
I mean, that's a little. Yeah, I know. That's a little wicked. I think that's a tiny bit wicked. what else do I think is wicked? I think, good Lord. There's so many red things I think is wicked. I think,
that's a lie.
I don't know. I think whatever you
speaking
do in the bedroom is yours. I know. I can't get out of it. No matter what I do. I don't care what time of the day or night or whatever, they're going to bark. I don't care what it is. I try. And somebody's going to bark at me. But I've been gone for like 12 days, so they're like all, we hate you. We hate you. We love you. We hate you. We love you. We hate you. We love you. Right now, they all hate me. Yeah, right now, they're not very happy with me.
Aww.
Yeah.
It's okay, you'll
love
on them when you're done.
We love you.
So, hey, I don't know. I'm going to put one on the board.
Oh, yes,
mind.
Please.
Woohoo.
Like, this isn't your show.
This isn't my poll. Yeah, you know, but I haven't read in a week, so I'm all like, I'm going to read everything.
We've got time. You are good.
Yeah. So, this is instead of begging for candy, I'm going to beg for something else.
So this is called Begging. Lips smile, I beg you to come. Waters, I beg you to come. Tongue licks, I beg you to come. Breast heave, I beg you to come. Fingers entwine, I beg you to come. Thighs quiver, I beg you to come. Knees do drop, I beg you to come. Desires inhale, I beg you to come. Hands grasp, I beg you to come. Silky lips drip, I beg you to come. Throat impaled, I beg you to come. End poem.
You also made it our show, right? Your voice alone is rated X. That's awesome.
It's rated R, Paul.
Well, of course it is. I think that, but you know, because they're all spelled C-O-M-E, it's very benign. But when you read it like that, my Lord, it is just hot in here. You're making me sweat, girl. But I think my favorite part of this, tonight especially, is just the way your throat gets all in there, and it gets all breathy, and the different dynamics you read that with, it is absolutely enthralling. It's like it's like you can be like right in front of us, and there's no way to say no to that. I'm just saying, it's all whatever you want. It's okay, and I love that. I love that it starts with a smile, especially because, you know, that's my favorite thing of all, especially when that can be wicked. I was just going to say when it's that little wicked smile that with the twinkle in their eye where you know something's coming. And then it this is awesome. I mean, it starts with a smile, you know, the mouth waters, you lick your lips, you start to breathe heavier, you hold your hands, you start to quiver because that's always the best. And then things happen. And my favorite line of this whole entire thing actually is desire inhale, because you know how I feel about that. It's probably mentioned on every one of these shows. You know, there's something that is intoxicating about arousal. And I love that you go through every single step of this, from that first smile to the impaling, you know. I love that it is this wonderful kind of romantic progression that is made so wonderfully naughty just by you reading it. It's crazy. It's just crazy what your voice does. And so Rack, I'm assuming she doesn't have to beg. If she just looks at you, you'll be like, okay.
All I heard was, I'll beg you to come. I mean, you know, I know there are other words in that poem, but, it was a 5-word poem. I'll beg you to come. Okay. Well, you know, there was no other poem. There was no other poetry. There was just, you know, okay. This is triggers and every other word that you want to attach to that. I mean, you know, the double entendre at the thought to begin with, you know, I'm going to the store and I'm begging you to come with me. You know, it's like, okay, you know, it could be taken more than one way. And I'm sure that's how it's intended. And that's the beauty of a statement like that. I mean, but the other thing, I mean, this for me especially, when someone says, you know, begging, it's that implied desire that comes with that. It's not an act. It's something like, you know, I'm confessing something. I'm admitting that, you know, yes, I want it. You know, that in itself, I think, is a whole other night of talking, because, you know, there's a lot wrapped up in that thought, you know, and it leads to intimacy, and it leads to sharing, and it leads to all sorts of beautiful things and sounds. And I think part of the beauty in that as well is that begging doesn't have to be verbal. You could do it with your eyes. And when you master that, you know, begging with your eyes, you know. They used to call it, you know, at least when I did, they would call it, you know, my puppy dog eyes. And it's like, you know, what do you expect, you know? I appreciate it. I appreciate it for, you know, those words and everything that you wrapped around it, including your lips.
Don't you mean especially?
You.
Well, not limited to. Well, there's a tongue in somewhere as well, you know?
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
That is
absolutely awesome.
The tongue is what makes the speech, right?
This is true. However, you don't need a tongue to moan and groan, so there's that. So you just stepped it up like 10 notches in like one in one brevity. So, you know, you are just the queen of hotness, my girl.
It's my come hither phone.
Yes, it is.
Come hither, really?
Yes. That was perfect.
Come hither phone.
Fabulous. Oh my goodness.
Girl walks up to the drugstore, goes up to the druggist and wags her finger and says, I need some batteries. The druggist wags his finger and says, come this way. And she says, if I could come this way, I wouldn't need the batteries.
OMG. That is funny. You with the
hilarious.
Jokes, with the jokes.
With the jokes, you and the jokes.
Well, you kind of put the thought in my head when you said come hither, because there's that how to find the G-spot idea, you know, come hither, that glorified come hither motion that everyone knows or doesn't know about.
Well, happy to delve in more on that on our next private show. Tell you all about it. But this is not, you know, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, so unfortunately I will not be, you know... doing any and any mapping out
that
of things
was
on
funny.
Oh my goodness. But
I got more.
Ooh, I see this. I got excited when it popped up. I don't know if you noticed that. I tend to get excited when things pop up, so par for the course, I suppose.
But this is kind of to the theme.
Ooh, it looks creepy.
I know.
I wrote to them.
You guys, let me know if the background noise gets to be too loud, because my very deep-voiced, manly boys won't, you know, STFU.
Your noise-canceling headphones are working wonderfully. I'm not hearing a thing.
Awesome.
Neither am I.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
So this is Jasmine Perfume and Muddy Box Surprises. This is one of my favorite poems, by the way. Backwood hotel room. Whiskey shooting Jezebel. She'll give you a good time. Jasmine perfume. Italians rip flesh. Fire is burning. Swamp girl loving. Doing her best. Little hot mess. Scream my name. I'm in your brain. It will never be the same. Black eyeliner voodoo doll. Crocodile amber eyes, Louisiana nutty bog surprise. I'm holding all the pins. Listen to me once again. Under my spell, I win. End poem.
Look at you with the Halloween goblins. This is wonderfully eerie. I'm loving it. I like the whiskey shooting Jezebel. I was like, what, homie? Oh, like, I absolutely love this. So this is a two-part thing written all by you, right? So, like, this is
yeah,
like voodoo doll. This is what's happened, like back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Just to make sure that I am.
Yeah.
You know, following the flow, because sometimes I miss a whole heck of a lot. I admit it, but I absolutely love this. Swamp girl loving, doing her best, little hot mess. That is hysterical. I love that. It's just very, very, it kind of fix the images and the kind of little visceral feelings that scream my name, I'm in your brain, it will never be the same. That is haunting. You know, if you just read that on its own, it is kind of dirty, but it's haunting in this particular poem.
Yeah.
I'm like, because you know, when it's that good, that your name kind of just escapes loudly, and they can't stop thinking about you, and you know, things that once you get to that point, you can't go back to what was before. So I kind of love that notion in there, but. I'm holding all the pins. I can just see it all psycho style thing, with that doll. Listen to me once again. Under my spell, I win. I love this. I love this. I love this. I love this. I love that image too. That is creepy as all freaking get out. But black eyeliner, voodoo doll, crocodile, amber eyes, Louisiana, muddy bog, surprise. You know, I live in Florida swamplands. I am familiar with the bogginess. There's a whole big old campground here called Boggy Creek, and depending on the time of year, you will lose shoes in that muck. It is not okay. But Rack and Tour, what do you think of this little hot mess?
You know, for me, when a woman says she's feeling swampy, that's a totally different thought. As well as a guy.
Swamp ass.
What a guy I never heard it called a whiskey before, but you know. I love the wording in this because you know you could play with the interpretation like that throughout the whole piece. It's brilliant and it's meticulously designed, I think, and very well done, intentionally or otherwise. I mean, you know, it just works out that way when you use good language and you have a agile mind like yours. Scream my name, I'm in your brain. That's another thought that, again, you know, you kind of wish for that at some point. You know, you don't want to admit that it's a spell that you're under, but you know, it happens. You know, they call women enchanting in and out of context for reasons like that all the time. So, you know, yeah. You weave a spell just by walking into a room, dear.
This is true. I know this for a fact. And so the italicized verses here are all a little bit naughty. Jasmine perfume, because, you know, flowers are scented. Talons rip flesh. We were just talking about dragon fingernails. Fire is burning, because that's what desire looks like. I kind of really am loving that, because there's that one. There's a scream my name. Once again, under my spell. I win. I love that, because that's got a little playfulness in it. I love that little I win, because when you read it, it's all like, was there ever a doubt, and all sultry. But when I look at it, it's just like, woohoo, you know. So I kind of love that. I love the way you read your poem, because it's always a little sinister. It's always a little shadowy, a little sultry. You could be writing about rainbows, and they are some sexy rainbows. It doesn't matter. It's just the way you read it, which is just awesome. So just putting that right on up there.
Because rainbows are on straight to bent.
Oh, my goodness. You got another one for us? Do you have them lined up?
I'm looking for one that I...
Before you get into
it.
Okay, one at a time, guys. Okay, Rack, you were saying something.
Yeah, I was going to say, before you get into it, since mine is a different mood, put mine up for Sweet.
I can do that. All right. And Sweet, you were saying?
I was going to say, Rack, hold on. Let's wait till we get more people so more people can hear you.
Nah, that's all right. It's more of a ghost story than so.
We could always put them to close as well. Because, you know.
Well, whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. I mean, you mentioned Louisiana, too, so mine actually kind of takes place in New Orleans, so however you
want
to go.
Well, whatever you want.
It's
like
up to you, Sweet.
You. I know we got more. I want people to hear him so we can get better comments than just you and me.
All right.
I'm just
I'll stick with
right
mine
now,
up because I don't
playing.
Care.
All right.
So, yeah. So when, because I know that Silk said he's coming, so I know at least one more person's coming. You know, it's Halloween, so, you know.
I know.
Trick-or-treating and exhaustion happen. Just, you know. Okay, this is Smoke Trail into Demon's Lair. Because I figure that's a little wicked. I'm good with that. And it goes like this. You seeped into my shadows and smoke that danced on unspoken promises and invited me into your secrets, held me against your breast and whispered enchantments drawn from my veins. Twisting my desires into your own, I wrap you in my arousal, racing to slow down what cannot be stopped. Your lips drive my dreams by running water where I would climb a mountain to feel the safety of your darkest corners. We touch through time and ache in exquisite longing. Don't let me doubt you, and I'll happily feed your demons my flesh and fantasy's truth, bonded and bound, claimed and branded in love's shadow. End poem.
Well, 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 look at you. You talk about me. Aren't you the sexy thing? Yeah, that's how you, like, come off. Oh, well, you read so fine, and then you, like, come in with, pushing my desires into your own. I wrap you in my arousal, racing to slow down what cannot be stopped. Your lips drive my dreams by running water. I wonder what water we're talking about that's running.
Well, you know, gorgeous. Those waterfalls don't stop.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, feed your demons my flesh and fantasy truth, bounded and bound, claim and branded love shadow. This is gorgeous and metaphorically brilliant, I might add. And talk about a voice that doesn't stop, that just makes you all ooh. And quivery, Pretty Bird's voice.
Quivery. That's
gorgeous.
Lovely.
Yeah, you make me quivery. Yeah, it's gorgeous. There are a lot of great metaphors in here. Whispered enchantments drawn from my veins. What a great line is that? Whispered enchantments drawn from my veins. Oh, talk about knowing someone deeply. Beautiful. Arachnator, your thoughts, my darling?
How can you think after something like that? I mean, you know, I'm looking to connect two words together. One thing you kind of glossed over real quick, I got to circle back and mention about, you know, the whole quivering thing, because, you know, birds and quills and feathers and quivers, you know, the bow and arrows and that in itself, you know, it sounds like a long way to make that connection, but it's really not, you know, because, you know, she is Pretty Bird. So it's there. It's
you
there.
You guys are sweet. Sweet, sweet.
But you know, my favorite idea, too, you only touch on it briefly, is the smoke and the diaphanousness of it. But the other thing that folds itself into that thought for me as well, and I had an entire poem about it, actually, is, you know, smoke comes from a flame. And it's that heat, that flame that's wrapped up in that thought as well. That, you know, it's saying it without saying it. That there's a wonderful grace to that, you know. The implication is there, but you don't hit someone over the head with it. It's like, you know, you almost don't realize where it's coming from, and then you breathe it in, and you're taken by it. You know, you get that dizziness like being in a room full of smoke. Yes, we can't breathe.
You know,
isn't that
you guys
true?
Make me sound fabulous.
Well, you
I
are.
I don't feel so fabulous with everybody else. Hold,
you do have mirrors.
Awesome.
You do have mirrors in that house, girl.
I do, but, you know, I tend to not stand in front of them.
Why?
Well, even when you do, you don't see the same fabulousness. That's all right.
That's true. I don't. I am like every other broken human where, you know, if it's a gray hair or a wrinkle or a zit or whatever the heck, that is all that is in my face. That's horrible.
Wait a minute. Where'd you find that gray hair?
Such personal questions.
Oh, my God, that thought.
OMG, you're so funny. Oh, my goodness. I'm like, you know,
the conversation.
I haven't written. OMG. Thank you. I haven't written anything newly fully sensual in a long time. You know, sickness will do that to you. But I'm feeling better, so. Should delve into things, so to speak. Okay, so we are almost halfway through. We have two SoundClouds, and then us. And one of those SoundClouds is Rack, and we want him to get comments and be loved on. So I'm good with filling this whole first hour with us. What about you, sweet? I mean, it is pretty sweet.
I'm good with it.
All right. Put something else up.
Oh, okay.
You did that with
Hold
the
on.
Show.
Ha, 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 ha. Hold on. I got to find something crazy. Let's see what I can do. I can find things. I can do all kinds of funky things. Ooh.
I tend to live in my Nyx file for Sunday nights. Isn't that weird?
Look on by.
All right. Random.
I know
which
one I'm
going to
read next.
I'm not reading.
Just let me know if you want me to put one up while you're looking.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
You have... No, not mine.
No, go ahead. What is it, Rack?
No, I had one, but I don't know that you guys had read it. And I had written for Sweet Show so many moons ago. It was called Reap What You Sow, and now I'm sounding like Dr. the Cat in the Hat.
Okay, give me a second to find you, and I will look for that in a minute because I've got one up. I'll read that one, and it's called Reap.
I have.
I don't think it's in your. I don't think you posted it. I can't find it. Like I'm searching your page, Rack, and I don't see it.
Well,
happy
call.
Halloween, AP, or happy first day of November, AP.
Thank you, Pretty Bird. You can say tomorrow, happy Melbourne Cup Day.
Well, there you go.
Happy
Melbourne
Cup. Oh, my God, yay! It's my favorite day in Australia.
There you go.
There you go. She's so enthusiastic. It's like contagious.
Kentucky.
Awesome.
It's Kentucky
what,
Derby
what is
Day in Australia.
Yes,
what is it called? Happy
rivers.
Milking Cup?
there you go.
Melbourne
there you go.
Cup.
Everybody's excited. Melbourne Cup Day.
Melbourne. Okay.
So do you have
yes.
to rush off, or can I read a poem and then read your poem?
No, read a poem. Pretty Bird, please.
Awesome. Okay, I've got one up on the board. It is called Axiom. And it goes like this. Night winds carry my name through your skin in memories that pull painfully at tethers, bound ethereally in timeless abandon that screams primordial truths through distant air. Breathe my name through your veins and meet me in midnight desire. Hold me tight with no release to be found. Grip my flesh and calm what time has birthed as yours. Primal eyes bite my pulse and beat in a unified heart that screams through my body in scented wafts of wistful distance carried on electric waves that permeate sense. Break the silence with pleasured moans as my teeth break concentration, turning it into the symphony that rules the dance, merging bodies into spiritual excess. The heat across time can burn just as cruelly as the distance that leaves me devoid of your seated sin, temporary yet intolerable. this silent cacophony. I hear you calling, yearning deep as the abyss. Bind my will as you bind my spirit to yours. Sing my name in your longing, and I will return arias that scent your flesh and loving whispers and pleasured screams that call you by name. Obsidian pools liquefy me, presiding over the prime that pulls at the core of unified libidinous need. There is not the desire to feed the beast and quell the fasting hunger. And poem.
Well, hello, fasting hunger. How are you? My. Ravenous, fasting hunger. Another lovely, haunting, beautiful poem by you. I can't say enough about how great you are with the metaphors and the way to say things and how you say things. I think it's beautiful. I don't know how you do what you do, girl. I'm just going to go ahead and hand it over to AP because I've said enough.
Yeah, beautiful words. And beautiful words that that flow so nicely. There's not a false consonant. And sometimes there's false words, but you don't do false words and you don't even do false consonants. And there's something kind of special about that.
Oh, thank you. That's lovely. Thank you.
I guess that leaves me. I can wait all night for the call on the back. And it will be a lot quicker. I'll pretend that you called on me. That's okay. Like I pretend all the time about you. I'm in love with the way you put words together. You know, you've known that from the beginning. What struck me with this is the thought that you kind of weave. You start off. You use binding and a lot of words. There was a lot of things that led to the thought of connection in the words in the beginning of this, that before it even led to the passionate parts, you know, and the connection, you know, physical as well as, mental, and real and implied, you know, you've got all of that wrapped up in the beginning. Part of what struck me about it was the way that you take it in. I'm starting to talk in circles too. I'm kind of bound to the thought, I guess. I don't know, but you kind of slip that in there without actually, you know, talking about it, you know, and that idea was lovely. But you know, so was the rest of it, and I'm doing it a disservice just hanging on that beginning piece, but. That's really what I guess I have to say grabbed me and kind of held me in place. So I really appreciate the poem.
Well, thank you. So I appreciate the your comments. So AP, did you bring us a tasty Halloween treat?
Well, I sort of struggle with the treat. Yes, Halloween, not really. And the reason I say that is because, you know, we don't sort of do Halloween too much, really. And so, you know, there's a couple of sort of Americans who are expats who do it, and that's sort of cool, but it's sort of the exception. So, but I did write an adult poem during the week. And
works for me.
It's unusual for me because I don't normally. And
really?
I don't. And it just sort of came to me. I wasn't trying to write an adult poem. I started off writing about colours, and all of a sudden it turned into an adult poem. So here it is.
Oh, sounds perfect.
It's sort of strange. It's called Dice, and it goes a little bit like this. Skies are orange and fleeting on eve, while red lips remain still full by night. Dawn upon occasion an aqua weave, but turquoise eyes ever full of insight. Lips kiss firm, a breeze, then a cheek. One hand races, invading her space. Neck opens as enjoined, lips do seek. His fingers quick to her breast lights. There is tension before then release. Her chest lies open to playing touch. Dancing below nipples firmly, peace, resistance ebbing away in his clutch. He is drawn below her formal skirt, underground in but a moment trice. His right hand on firm flesh but perfect. She glistens while her moan starts. Then her legs by themselves part, he reaches deeply lingering there. And she is streaming salty as tart. Her first release is near by her stare. End poem.
I love this. Accidental naughtiness. It's fabulous, apparently, so there you go. I love how it starts with that innocent orange sky. And then you've got those red lips, which, you know, are always tantalizing, however you mean them. And then it's a wonderfully sensual and affectionate what's the word I'm looking for? Progression with, you know, the lips kiss the cheek and the hand invade your space and the lips find the neck, which is just always the beginning of good things. And then I love how you say the fingers, you know, lace her breasts, because that's such a wonderful, delicate. They're not groping, they're not grabbing, it's not all, it's delicate and fabulous. And then there is tension before that release. Well, yes, of course there is. And resistance ebbs, you know, because, good things, all good things. And I love all this. And even when you get to the glistenings, even when you get to the lingering, even when you get to the saltiness, there's still a delicateness about it that is inviting and romantic and super sensual and very much, I want that, you know, because it has this lovely undertone. There's no race to the finish line. There's no, let's just, you know, rip our clothes off and get in there. It is all that kind of those motions that bring you to the brink before you get to the act itself. It's all of the anticipation, all of the buildup, and it's really well done. And in rhyme, no less, so you've got that. So, Sweet Pea, what do you think? Oh, and I like the way you use the word dice, because it's almost like they cut the air, like that's all that's there. It's not, because, you know, when I think dice, I don't think, you know, my mind went to like a pair of dice, and so I really love the way you use that word. Okay, Sweet Pea, what do you think of this little rhyming, wonderful bit of sensuality?
Well, I love there are certain things in here that I really enjoy just because of the how it's set up, how he sets the stage. Skies are orange and fleeing on eve, while red lips remain still full by night. I love aqua leaves, but turquoise eyes are ever full of insight. But there's just certain, like there's, neck opens. I like that. Tension before release. There's dancing below nipples. There's resistance ebbing away in his clutch. There's something about the skirt that I really like. I've got to find that for a second. But, it's like the formal skirt, I think is the word he used. That this is like a very prim and proper kind of way it's set up. But then it's like a dance between these very kind of prim and proper people that is going on. Like most people wouldn't particularly see that going on between these people. But it's quite the down and dirty going on, and it's not expected. And I kind of enjoyed that setup there. Glistens while her moans dice. I really like that, but I thought the way it was set up was quite well, as she is steaming salty as a tart at first release is mirrored by her stare. But I don't think that anyone that would look at her would be like, oh, why? She's quite the tart. So it's kind of like the perfect lady and then the perfect little tart underneath. So I like how you played her.
Thank you, Sweat.
You're welcome.
And Rack, what are your thoughts?
You can't give someone like me an opening like that. When I hear dice, I use a euphemism for dice is bones, you know, past the bones. But that would have made this very crude and everything but that. So you know, you immediately remind me of that. And when you start off, you know, your style is like Pretty Bird said, delicate, and you know, you almost can't help but use that word. You know, so no one could fault her for stealing it once you use it to describe your piece here. The thing I love about it is the interplay between the metaphor and the literal. You know, you're talking about trees, but you're not. And then when you get down to you know, the breasts and things like that, you know, you're talking about them, but you're doing it in an intimate way, almost innocent, where something like this could be playing out almost right next to someone, and you wouldn't really know. It gives that impression. It's sensual and intense without being, in your face and screaming, which is really a hard thing to do when you're talking about something like this, you know, to describe, you know, that moment and even the moments leading up to that moment. It's almost violent. In a lot of ways, and it's hard to tone it down and make it seem as subtle and beautiful as you did.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
There you go. So we have a sound. Okay, so you hang out with us for a minute, AP?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, awesome. So we have a poem by Miss Casey Day. It comes with the SoundCloud. I put it up on the board. And it is, I'll play it in a second as soon as I can read my own handwriting. Hold on a second. By read my own handwriting, I mean read the screen because I didn't write this crap. It's just far away and I'm half blind. So I will find it in the list. Here it is. Okay, here we go.
Vanilla and bergamot. Your body is written in sacred ink across my bedsheets. The smell of vanilla and bergamot rests upon the air. Demons cast out still echo on the walls. They stare while I touch myself to memories of a ghost who had the devil in his smile and angels in his eyes. Your sharp edges made me bleed, sliced my skin and freed my soul. Shattered and scattered, we laid our sins out like paper dreams, meeting late night screams, and we called it all poetry. Now I wreathe to the thought of your silky lips gliding across my bare chest, and the angels turn their heads while I lick innocence off my fingertips, swish and spit, my pain in the bathroom sink. Numbness washes over me, and I go to sleep.
I love her. She is awesome. I mean, this is so relatable and so familiar and so painful and so beautiful. Your body is written in sacred ink across my bed sheets. I mean, that's just a beautiful string of words. I mean, that is just, it pulls you right on in. I mean, it does. There's no lead in. She just brings you right to the moment, grabs you in the feels, makes it all familiar. And I think I know this devil, ghost with the devil in his smile and angels in his eyes gets me every damn time too. And there is while I lick the innocence off my fingertips. That don't sound so innocent to me. I'm just saying. And I'm swish and spit my pain in the bathroom sink. And then she can go to sleep. Because sometimes that memory is powerful and the emptiness that follows is so painful. It's just this duality of reality that is really familiar, you know? But that second verse, that whole second verse, it's I know it intimately. Your sharp edges made me bleed. I mean, what a powerful line that is, you know? Sliced my skin and freed my soul, because sometimes, you know, to lose inhibitions, you have to break through some shit. Shattered and scattered, we laid our sins out like paper dreams, meeting late night screams, and we called it all poetry. How freaking beautiful is that? It is just beautiful, beautiful. Ah, demons cast out still echo in the walls. That is the best description of Aftermath I think I have ever heard. You know? That is fabulous. Fabulous. The demons cast out still echoes on the wall. That is the feeling when you've had like really good sex and then they leave, but it's still in the air, you know? It's still like everything in the room kind of bore witness and reverberates. And I kind of love that. This is haunting and painful and sensual and just fabulous. So sweet. Take it away. Are you on mute, darling? Oh, there you are.
No, I was going to say, first, I love the title. I like the second stanza, I think, probably is my favorite. Your sharp edges made me bleed, sliced my skin and freed my soul. Shattered and scattered, we laid our sins out like paper dreams, meeting last night's screams, and we called it poetry. I love that stanza. I mean, it is definitely poetry and words and metaphor and imagery and everything. And I just think of, I don't know why, but I think of paper cuts, how they slice and sting and slice and sting. And she's just that whole laid out on paper. Ugh, you know, sharp edges make you bleed. And I just like, you know, how you write and sometimes that sting and it does free your soul and yet she's out there and she's screaming and she's making love and all of this craziness and, you know, paper and screaming and slicing the skin and just so much going through your head and bleeding and I just thought it was fabulous imagery. It just kind of took me way away and I really liked that. It was beautiful. Outstanding. So, AP, your thoughts?
Well, I really like tea with vanilla and bergamot, so I actually sort of really got it in the smell there. But just work with me with stanza two. Just think for a minute. Maybe that was our Lord and Master of all poetry, the great one. If you didn't like that person very much, he would make sharp edges bleed. He would slice skin. He would have sins out there. He would make you scream. And it still would be called all poetry. Just work with me for that. End comment.
You know, I love your brain, AP. I just do.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're very welcome.
I agree. And Raconteur.
Am I still here? Oh, man. I thought this was gorgeous. I love the whole thing from beginning to end. The starting off with the, you know, the thoughts, the memories, and leading up to the act itself. And the thing that's wrapped up in this, you know, to me, I won't call it haunting, but, you know, the whole piece was haunting, but she very subtly, you know, doesn't mention or even touch on, you know, why he's not there anymore. You know, he could have passed away. This could have been a breakup, which everyone's mind tends to go to when you talk about someone like this. You know, they're gone, they're gone. But, you know, to me, it almost feels like a mourning. And you know, a breakup can be a mourning as well. But, you know, it could be that, you know, she was with someone that you know, she lost to me. And I don't know why my mind goes that way, but, you know, it feels not like a normal kind of a hookup. I get what AP's saying. You know, it's almost like there's a resentment to the fact that it happened in this. But, you know, to me, I feel that resentment more as, you know, that it's over, not that, you know, I'm upset that it happened. I just, you know. And I'm putting words in AP's mouth, and I'm sorry, but you know, I don't know. There's a lot of emotion involved in this, and you know, the word haunting, you know, is absolutely perfect to describe it as well, because it does fit the theme for tonight. She weaves a spell in the way that she tells the story. So I really, really appreciate this a lot. It's absolutely stunning.
I fully concur. So it is 11:16, and we're more than halfway to the finish line. And so let's talk about what's coming up. So tomorrow is all you, AP. Tell us all about it.
Well, it's the race that stops a nation. And I know we're not a very big nation, but we're a nation nonetheless. And it's a horse race, and it's called the Melbourne Cup. And because it's a horse race, it means that we'll have a sweep. And so you can put your name in and get a horse. And if it wins, you get points. It's pretty simple, really. And you'll have to put up with me calling the race. I think you won last year, pretty bit.
I did.
We will do.
I forgot. You're right.
And that's it. And we will do horse-related and horse poems, which of course means it gives me an excuse to read The Man from Snowy River again, which I do every single time on Melbourne Cup Day. So if you want to listen into the show, just make sure that, and you don't like The Man from Snowy River, just miss that 7 minutes and 25 seconds. But apart from that, it's going to be a great show.
It was fun last year, so I'm looking forward to it. And I am on Tuesday. Yeah. I am on Tuesday with Under the Bus, and since last week we did the Seven Deadly Sins here on my regular show, I'm going to do the Seven Heavenly Virtues. Now, I can name the sins off the top of my head, but the virtues, not necessarily my bag, but it'll be interesting to write to them. So that is on Tuesday. I'm not sure what is on Wednesday. I'm not seeing anything on the board yet. And so I have no clue what's coming up for the rest of the month, or rest of the week. I suppose I should actually look at the
schedule.
Yeah, the schedule. Thank you, because I have no words today. Lady A is on Wednesday, so keep an eye out on the topic board. And Sweet, you're not doing your show for a while, right?
No, I'm not. Unfortunately, I'm headed to a funeral, so no.
Okay, so that means that Sweet and Dour is off on Friday as well.
Yes,
correct.
Okay. Okay, so that's how
you can't have Dour without Sweet. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
it's just blatantly poorly, you know.
Oh my goodness! But we will miss you while you're gone, and I
we will.
The Dour hour.
Oh no!
Shit, to make that. The hour of Dour. I mean, how's that going to go? You're going to get a whole, you know, half a person listening to that.
Well,
it's like sucking
you know,
a lemon.
Misery loves company.
So,
too
you
much
never
of
know.
A good one. Too much of a good thing.
No, I know I do.
So, Rack, you want me to put you up now?
Sure.
Okay. And we have a SoundCloud for you as well. So he is up on the board, and I will play him now.
Soup Kettle by Raconteur. I was cold and hungry when I wandered into the little restaurant somewhere down a back alley in the French Quarter of New Orleans. An old-fashioned soup kettle hung in the fireplace that warmed the dining area. As I was seated, I asked the waitress what she would recommend, and she replied that the gumbo was magical. She went on to explain how the chef bought the kettle at auction. It was at least 13 generations ago when a potion was brought to life in it. A list of ingredients and their precise measurements written in a long-forgotten tongue were handed down with the cauldron itself when the time came. But the miraculous quality of this brew, despite evaporation and its usage over time, the flame beneath never extinguished, and inside was always full, making the simmering concoction as old as the burgundy ink used to chronicle the arcane ritual on the brittle parchment, keeping the elixir viable in perpetuity. There are those that say it was an act of vengeance, while others claim it was merely carelessness. But the aftermath of the catastrophe was undeniable. There was a perfect ebony circle of charred earth where the hut once stood, and at its center sat the ancient cauldron, an anachronism appearing to have been meticulously placed several feet from the remains of the fireplace where it used to hang. The cauldron bore no evidence of ever being used and appeared as pristine as the day it was forged. Inside were the unintelligible remains of an ancient parchment, the only evidence suggesting it was the same artifact that bubbled for generations in the fireplace. I said, "I'll have the andouille sausage and a glass of sweet tea with lemon, please." The waitress chuckled and said, "Coming up."
Yeah, wouldn't trust that cauldron either. Oh my goodness. See, I like good storytelling. I like that it's the setting and it's the time and the history of this cauldron and with a little touch of evil in it. And it came with the recipe and it was magically full forever, and you know, death ensued and not, and that wouldn't need it either. But I do love the idea of those old fireplaces, the big ones, the ones that you actually could like walk in and sweep out, the ones that they used to cook with their Dutch ovens, and these giant lovely soup kettles that I will probably never look the same again, but that's all right. And I would take the sandwich and sausage myself, because no, but it does make me want gumbo in real life, though, ain't gonna lie. So sweet, what do you think of this magical gumbo?
Well, first off, I want some, obviously. Anybody that goes and wanders in the French Quarter should know better than to take anything. But I like the flame beneath never extinguished, and the inside was always full. Lucky, lucky you. There are those that say it was an act of vengeance, while others claim it was merely carelessness. Was it an act of vengeance, or did you actually love that? The cauldron bore no evidence of ever being used. It appeared as pristine as the first day it was poured. I said, I think this is a totally poor boy and a glass of sweet tea with lemon, please. The waitress chuckled and said, coming up. This is quite the story. I have no doubt it actually happened. And there are quite a few poor men walking around with this poor experience. Is this actually a family story, or where did you get it? So I don't think it's a poem. I think it comes from somewhere back in the world. Now tell me, where does it come from?
There's actually a Chinese recipe that they have. I think it's a soup But the idea is that they never finish the soup. They call it a mother sauce, and as they take from it, they make the next batch in that the previous batch. So it still stays fresh. The ingredients keep getting refreshed, but it never empties. So at some point, you know, the thing is like really ingredients that are years old contained in it, flavoring it. And it's something that can never be duplicated because, you know, the aging of the ingredients at the different rates and everything as things are added. And, you know, as the people, you know, theoretically, you know, if it gets handed down to someone else and they contribute to it, you know, they're not necessarily going to be as precise with the measurements, or they may even take liberties with it. So it's one of those things that takes on a life of its own. And that was the thought that, you know, added to the legend in my mind, you know. So, you know, that they have, you know, the qualities of the things that never empty and whatnot. So that's kind of where that came from. And you know, I just love New Orleans, and if you're going to have a kettle that never empties, you know, it would have to be in New Orleans, I think.
Absolutely. And Mr. AP, your thoughts on this, please.
See, I have been to New Orleans, and I've been there several times for Mardi Gras. And so I had to correct Rack. And I know this is sounding weird. It's an Australian correcting somebody on an American city name. But it is New Orleans. Or that's
yeah.
What they say when you're there. Yeah. That's sort of weird. But putting that aside, because that's not what the poem's about. Well, it is in setting. I mean, because the French Quarter is very... It's an unusual place. Let's just get that out there. It's an unusual place, and it deserves poetry written about it, and it deserves stories written about it, because there's a sense of history, and there's a sense of longing, but there's also this sort of sense that something's not quite right, and that's the bit that comes across in this poem with the pot. It's that sense that something's going on here and we're really not quite sure what it is, but it's going on and we're just going to witness it and then we're going to have something else to eat. And I actually can completely relate to that, and I like the poem a lot.
Thanks, AP.
That whole kind of hand-me-down sauce reminds me of sourdough starter.
Yeah.
Often
yeah,
say
and
ginger beer.
You know, I don't know
well,
about
yeah,
ginger beer.
You need, no two sourdoughs are ever the same because of what you said with the starter. Yeah, the way that it's made.
Yeah, you make it with a bit of the dough from the last bread.
Yeah.
Over
yes.
And over and over and over and the older it is, the better the bread.
The better the dough.
Yes.
I tend to not be able to make those things simply because my mind can't go there. And I have and I rue the day this hot dog vendor told me something I wish I never knew. I love those hot dogs in the carts, right? Because they have the skin on them and they're crunchy and they're loaded. And they're like New York street dogs are the best ever anywhere. But they don't ever change the water, ever. They will add water to it. But they
no,
but then, oh.
They do.
He's lying
to you. I beg to differ. He's lying to you.
There is a big difference in the freshwater ones and the ones that taste like New York street dogs. I'm just saying. There's no other hot dog. Yeah, there's a big difference. And they have those carts here in parking lots in various places. It's not the same. It's not the same. It's just not the same. So I'm sure that some people are wonderfully sanitary, but the flavor is in the water.
There's no denying the water's flavor, but the Board of Health, when they give out those licenses and everything else, they would mandate that you have to at some point
change
that
water. Yeah. I've been a food inspector.
You can't get away with
nothing from
that.
No,
and it's,
it may be the New York water. It might be the water they're using. They put them in the water. So if they change those every day or he would not be in the business. There's no way.
You know, someone would get sick.
No.
Yeah. Too much gets left behind, and you know, granted, it does add flavor, but some of it that gets left behind is not good.
This is true. This is true. But the way he put it is, they freeze it, and they. Then they do it the next day. I just like things I wish I never knew or never heard or never whatever. It changes the way you see things. True or not, it changes the way you see things. And I was just like, oh, but the dogs. They do, however, sell the skin on hot dogs, the same brand at Sam's. So there's that. But they don't taste the same either. They crunch the same, but they don't taste the same in fresh water. They just don't. So whatever they do to them, whatever they put in the water, adds a whole lot.
They may be using brine water. Mm. Have you ever tried to put some brine in it? It might be a brine.
Yeah.
What's
that?
The brine is a natural byproduct of the hot dog itself. You could also see the oil floating in that water when you look at it.
Yes. What were you saying, AP?
I was just saying that is one place that can't come on, because I've never had a proper New York hot dog, so that's something I've got to do yet.
Really?
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, AP.
They are the best.
You get the Kanish.
Yes.
The Kanish, you'll like it better.
Fishies are awesome. That is true. But yeah, no. If you like hot dogs at all, you have to try one. They're just and I would say, you know, go ahead and forego the tourist dogs and just go right to the street vendor.
Yeah,
you have to do it from a street vendor.
Unless you're going to Grace Papaya in New York City.
Ugh. Ooh, there's a line of tourists that are eating hot dogs that they think are fabulous just because it says so on TV.
Yes.
You have a poem
up.
I just noticed, Sleepy.
I do. I put my tonight's topic poem up, which is really kind of odd and silly and weird.
Where do you find these images? That is awesome.
Yeah. This is just haphazardly my mind. I'm very tired, so forgive me for this. All right. Red velvet. She served rancid beard on pale crescent moons to drunk wizards who played with washed-out old hags vomiting the entrails of rats and bat guano mishaps. A drunk wizard whispered red velvet, "He will come for you, the girl with the hair of flames and eyes of green. He will call on her Halloween. She'll be his queen. The mortal world shall die." Red Velvet laughed and poured the bastard another round. She closed the bar and took a ride on another's broom. Velvet laughed, a queen, on this virginal, undiscovered candyland. Spells and frog kisses, masturbation and birthday wishes, strip teases, flirting, kissing on girls, and flashing tushes. Nothing ever happens. Boys couldn't even handle fresh French kissing. Halloween was cold and rainy like Christmas, with no unique toys or surprises for Velvet. So she bought her vibrating phone to keep things suspicious and delicious if something did come to fruition. Velvet felt a storm start to brew. The skies turned to indigo blue. Red hair began to crackle like flames in a fire. Thighs quivered. A body responds, sweating, soaking wet in desire. She felt the hands that pushed lava from the depths of the earth scorch her inner sin, and the tongue that sipped from the river Styx sweep across her naked body and cool her burning skin. It commanded her movement in whispers, telling the bee to sting. Gentle her stroking of his masculinity, power, and strength. The master of the spirits, he enlightened the unknown within. Upon her knees, Velvet sat in worship to her king. Deed he commanded, and he fell to her feet. Cover me in the blood of your virginal feast. The king took Velvet in multiple passionate rounds. in a deep rumbling voice that shook the core of his underground. My queen, he screamed, the world would bow down. Velvet rose from the ground and found nothingness. The skeletons of mortals, no trick-or-treat sounds from the earth, just darkness and death. Velvet kissed the king and smiled. Is it just us, my lord? Yes, all mortals slew. My weakness is you, my queen. Velvet laid her hands upon her king's sword and slew him with love. End poem.
You know, I have never heard a story of innocence lost so naughtily, so sinfully, so wantonly. I absolutely love this. I love how, you know, she's tried a little of this and a little of that, and the voice just couldn't handle it. You know, it's awesome. You know, spells and frog kisses, masturbation and birthday wishes, but nothing ever came to fruition. I love that. I love that wishing or wanting or the way that follows through. And then here comes the king. The king of the underground, or the, you know, there you go. And where is it? I love how the skies turn indigo blue, that lovely navy, red hair crackles like flames, thighs quiver, body responds, sweating, soaking wet in desire. Because, you know, you can't send a boy to do a man's job. I'm just saying. And I love this. It is just, this story is... you know, she fell
odd.
Into a hand that pushed lava from the depths of the earth, scorched her inner sin. I love that, scorched her inner sin. And the tongue that sipped from the river Styx to sweep across her naked body and cool her burning skin. Because there's nothing like the doorway to the underground to you know, cool you off a little bit when you're overheated. I just love this. I do. And before I steal everything, Raconteur, what are your thoughts of the Velvet Underground?
Yeah, I take the doorway to the underground to mean something a little different, I think, than what you're talking about. But I love the whole piece in general. And, you know, in my mind, you know, and I'm sure you notice it in some of the pieces that I've written, that the ending is what appeals the most to me. Eventually, you know, she killed him with love. So, you know, that to me, I think works better than the rest of it, because they kind of go hand in hand, at least in my brain. I don't know. I'm not writing in the head to begin with, so, you know. But I like the flirtiness of it. I like the obvious attraction of it, and you know, that she didn't give up, and eventually she found the right the right tool for the job.
You know. And she was tethered to her vibrating phone, because you never know. Now, AP, what are your thoughts on this Halloween story?
Well, it was indeed a story, and it was indeed about Halloween, with some other things besides. And I, like you, interestingly, was drawn to that same stanza. And I think it's the fourth, where for some reason, way that somebody decides that they're after something and they try and work out how they're going to get it, but like you then discover that you want it more than they do, and they just aren't interested or aren't grinding enough for it. And that stanza for me encapsulates love for probably about 2/3 of the world.
Oh. That's a little depressing.
<You know? laughs> Isn't it though?
You know, the hope is that people, you know, kind of click in and get a clue, you know? because you know, you want to share the love. But yeah, you know, I enjoy, sweet, I enjoy your little dark and twistedness, whether it is sensual or not sensual. I absolutely do, because it always just pulls me in. And I, like I said, where is that one line that I, the scorching her innocence, I love that. I just love that, like, a lot. And, because, you know, sin tends to be hot to begin with. And if you're scorching the hotness, that's some serious shit. I'm just saying. So I absolutely love that. And, you know, I'm going to overlook the bloodletting. Well, you know, but, you know, cover me in you know, I first of all, in all actuality, I love that there is no retreat from it. I love that it is part of the pull. I love that all these natural things are treasured. I really love that feeling in there, just in that one line of acceptance, because, you know, in today's society, and people are just like, what? No, thanks. And really, well, you did it. Get over it, you know? So I kind of love that. That's just kind of in there. And it's very much this is what the act looks like, but not in an in your what I'm doing kind of way. And I really, really, I love a lot of things. What can I say? There's something about how most people portray the loss of innocence or their loss of virginity in these wonderful romantic notions, or in these kind of clumsy little bits and pieces of, but no, it's a rare thing for that, I'm going to go ahead and call it a gift, to be primal, to be heated, to be, you know, sinful in all of its glory. And so I kind of love how you kind of did that, like, a lot. So I'm just saying. So, woohoo! Happy Halloween! You know, you gotta love a good, you know, Halloween story that brings a little darkness, a little blood, some good sex, you know, that's how you tell a Halloween story.
That's how you tell a naughty Halloween story.
There you go. I mean, it's not Ichabod about Crane, but, you know, hey, you know, he's not sensual, but that's what Halloween looks like to me. So I like this take on Halloween much better.
What do you mean the headless horseman's not sensual?
I have a great sensual headless horseman poem.
Do you really?
I do.
Oh, please. You must find it. You must find it.
I really do, as odd as it is.
That is freaking awesome. Who knew? Surprise! That is awesome. Well, while is it going to take you a second? Because I can throw one up.
My marriage was headless.
Hold on.
Do you know where it is? Oh, crap.
I got to find it.
I clicked on one of my poems and it started talking to me. That's not okay. I scared myself. That's what that old crap was. I was like yelling at myself in my ears. I was like, what the heck is that?
Schizophrenia.
Is it going to take you a minute? You want me to put one up while you're looking for it? Or?
Yeah, this is going to take me a minute.
All right. An AP or RAC, if you guys have another one, we've got plenty of time.
I don't, unfortunately, have a central poem about the Horsemen of the Apocalypse. I have to say, I'm going to hear it, because you don't normally put those two things together. I mean,
no.
I've got a fire and brimstone sort of Horsemen of the Apocalypse poem, and I'm thinking that's more what most people would have done, you know.
Right?
But
this is sweet.
Of course,
you know.
We're talking sweet here, so God knows how, but I'm sure she's managed to do it.
Oh, I'm sure she has, because she's fabulous that way. She can probably twist anything sexy or anything really dark. So, you know, she's very gifted that way.
Yeah.
So I have no headless horseman. I have no headless horseman, but I do have one up there as a little you know, we'll call it intermission to the good stuff. And I'll just read it. It's brevity, it's not too long. This is undeniably addicted. Glass eyes slice heartbeats dripping down the teeth of desire, painting emotion in garnet hues of passion where pain wears the guise of love clawed in the throes. Violent pink tongues meet heated pink lips, meeting an electric sound that marks the coming of waves. Skin bleeds in yearning. The scented air reignites burning scents into unyielding hunger, breaking skin into life in memories lingered, rite of passage, bonded, claimed, both taken and gifted, naked and beautifully owned outright. And poem.
How do you expect Sweet Pea to concentrate on finding what she's looking for when you do that?
No kidding. I'm not supposed to find anything with that.
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to find it. It's sold.
You can't find it.
Yeah, you're going to have to run comments. No, you're going to have to run comments while I look for it. So, yeah. Everybody comment away.
Yeah, I love the way you put that together. I don't know. You kind of left me speechless. I can't really comment. I'm sorry.
See how you are.
You know, you tend to do that. Even when you're not trying to, or I should say especially when you're not trying to. I think that's part of the beauty. You don't realize you do it.
Aw, thank you.
Go ahead, AP. Comment, Bird, please.
I really loved the piece, Pretty Bird. I loved the choice words, way that the poem just... The way the poem started and dragged you in and then how it just, it was like layers of a tree, you know, that you got to go and explore those rings as they go closer in, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. So I was looking for your poem with you, Sleep, but I have no clue what it's called. So I was looking under normal things, but you're like me. It's not always normal as far as titles go.
No, it's not.
I can put one up on the board directly.
Yes, please.
If you like.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of had this sort of strange idea with this poem, and I'm not sure it actually worked. Probably because that's the reason I've never posted it. But I sort of thought, so I'm going to put the whole poem on the board. If somebody's sort of removing their clothes, what would happen if you sort of remove words? And so that was the thinking. It's sort of strange, but it would work with me. It goes a bit like this. She wore the most stylish houndstooth coated for outside, night cold below lingerie. She wore most the sexy houndstooth for night lingerie below coated outside and cold. He wore sexy houndstooth, night outside cold, for most below coated in lingerie. He wore houndstooth, night coated sexy, outside cold for most. Houndstooth wore, outside most cold, night coated, she was sexy. Houndstooth outside, in poem.
Well, that is interesting. It's funny because houndstooth happens to be my favorite pattern on things, like more than plaid or dots or stripes. It's always been houndstooth. But I like the idea of this and how it goes a little minimalist. And it's still, even though it has less words as it goes, it still conveys very clear imagery, you know. And I really appreciate that. I like the idea that, you know, she is she's wearing this coat, but she still feels the cold on her skin, you know, below that lingerie that probably shouldn't be worn outside unless you're getting ready to, you know, be like, woohoo, this is what's underneath my coat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, I love the entire idea of that. personally, I went coat only one time and never again. there are too many variables for comfort in the traveling process of such things. Just saying. But I love this. And I love this interesting play on words, that the way you did that. But it still flowed. So that's kind of masterful. It's not, you know, I remove words from my stuff and I've got incoherent gibberish. So, you know, that's a testament to your ability. So, Sweet Pea, I know that you're looking for your poem.
Yeah.
But did you hear? Can you comment or?
No, I didn't pay any attention. I will read it later, though.
Okay.
There's something about paying attention to this that sets it off for me, in the sense that, especially as someone who has problems with his eyesight, you find that the eye tends to fill in the blank spaces. And you do the same thing with words. When you look at something and this piece is missing or pieces vanish, I fills it in with what it expects to be there sometimes. By offering up the initial thought the way that you did, when you started removing it, it was very easy to continue with that same thought. But at the same time, you know, where you were going, strip it. The way that I think you intended. You definitely accomplished what you were trying to, in a very clever way. I guess it's a poetic device. You use it in a poem, so that must make it a poetic device. But, you know, it was a clever trick, and I really appreciate it for that.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
So I have a mortifying and kind of funny naked story that I may have told before, but I'm going to tell it again. So I used to live, it was me, my husband, my sister-in-law, and her husband on opposite ends of this longhouse. And so Chris was in the spare room, which was like two doors down from where I was. And because he used to snore like a Mack truck, so he would give me a break every now and then. But I wasn't having it. I was a little frisky. So I wrapped myself up in the blanket, nothing else, and I tiptoed my butt over there. But as soon as I get to the threshold of the door to the hallway, the floor gives in. and so I guess there was a soft spot in the wood, and I was feet in dirt, boobs on the floor, blanket around my feet, couldn't get out of that for nothing. It's getting close to dawn, and I didn't realize that my brother-in-law had to be up at work to go to work. So he's tooling around the kitchen, and there I am, boobs on the floor, trying to be really, really quiet because the hallway faces the kitchen. So if he were to pee, if he opened the refrigerator and peeked over the door, he would have just seen me half naked stuck. And so I'm trying not to laugh and die at the same time. So as soon as he left, I'm like calling in whisper tone so that my sister-in-law didn't wake up to come and see me in my precarious position. It was not okay. So I tend to not travel anywhere naked after that. I will always start with a little something because, no, I have no luck when it comes to naked that way. So that is my story. You know, when I try to be sexy, it just doesn't work. Needless to say, as soon as I climb
like
my butt,
sexy.
As soon as I climbed out of that hole, there was no giving it away at that point. I went back to hiding in my room, closed the door, I was done. So, yeah, no happy ending for me. Did you find it yet,
sweet?
Yes, I did, right?
I found it.
Oh, yay, put it on the board. I'm so excited.
Bring us the end
of the
world.
I never would have found it with that title.
I know, go figure. This is about the farmer's daughter, not about Cedric. Yeah, you know.
Okay.
This is the farmer's daughter.
I wouldn't have asked.
A headless rider on an onyx steed galloped swiftly to ensure the purity of a young girl's heart. Listen not to the tales spun by evil tongues. Stories have been told, the horror, the demonic curse, of men being slain, little evidence left to their names, and history wonders why he still haunts Sleepy Hollow. A girl fair to look upon, and sweeter to kiss, settled in from Deutschland after tragedy. A mother, a fiancé, and future all passed away. Debauchery, murder, witchcraft, all suspected. To the colony, father and daughter sail, and in that sleepy town, future and past intersected. Immigrants arrived daily, mostly criminals. Most came from the law, some came bound by each degree. Somewhere in between were men like Ichabod Crane. Ichabod, a teacher of nothing but greed, a frightened little troll who would sell his soul if he could fall into a coffin filled with nuggets of gold. A twit of useless knowledge bid for the farmer's daughter. No love in his proposal. His treasure, he called her. So he summoned his mother for help and a few other things. A special triangle, red candles lit, blood of a goat, herbs from a witch, a bright harvest pumpkin, and a flame started licking the walls of the barn. Out of the ashes came midnight on hooves. The man on his back wore the instruments of husbandry, sharpened like weapons of war. A prince for her, had he not heard, but he rode to disembowel a man she wanted dead. So she listened to his screams as she watched him bleed. Her prince held up Ichabod's head and placed it upon his neck. She looked at him softly and said, "My darling, that high place has no, that face has no place on my future husband's head. So let's keep looking. Who's next?" End poem.
You have just made me giddy all night long. I love that he's out looking for suitable heads for his love, so she has to approve so he can keep one. That is fabulous. It's not willy-nilly haunting murders. It's just, no, I need the right head to appease my woman because it's all about the love. That is fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. I mean, who wants the head of a little twitty troll? I mean, that's just not attractive. So that's awesome, 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 awesome. And I like the spell because, you know, you got to have a little blood in it. And this is just, I don't know. And then you've got the horse, the horse, the horse, the horse. Midnight on hooves. I love that. I love that. I love that. Beautiful, beautiful language. And, you know, a girl wants what a girl wants. And, you know, a prince is a prince, but you got to have suitable parts. You know, I'm just saying. So, Ron,
that's right.
What do you think of this Haunted Hollow?
Was that Rack or me?
I said Rack, but I don't think he heard me.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't hear you. You kind of got stepped on, actually, when you said that part, which is why AP was asking, too, I think. But anyway, yeah, I almost want to say you probably didn't want to ask me about my idea of I can't say it. I'm not going to say it. PG-13. R. No, no.
Aw, you can say it. You want to say... Huh?
Well, it's just not my idea of giving a little head. I mean, I'm sorry.
Mate.
All right. You said I could say it. I said it. I'm happy.
You're good. You're good. And AP, what are your thoughts on the Headless Horseman?
Well, it's sort of like the Headless Horseman meets sort of spiders, really, you know, and I think of spiders because, you know, like Widow, things like that, but because the female spider consumes the male spider as he's unfortunately trying to get somewhere near her. And so I sort of thought, you know, I've never heard the Headless Horseman of the Apocalypse described in such a way, but my head turned to spiders, and like Rack, I'm glad that my head was not in that.
I love this. You know.
And yet we're still tempted to volunteer to be next.
Right? I'm only sweet. Awesomeness. You know, I'm going to give you, like, some innocent story, like some little innocent something, and see just how dark and dirty you can make it. Like, that is awesome. Well worth the wait. What was that, sweet?
It's not really dirty. It's just kind of sweet.
It is. It's just a little love.
It's just a little love.
You know, a little love, a little blood of a goat. It's, you know, it's all good. This is fabulous. And it is officially no longer Halloween. So I guess that makes it officially Derby Day, at least here, because it's in the same 24-hour, you know, day period. There, it's tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ah. So that is, I'm excited about the race, and I have no clue what's coming up next Sunday. So I can't even be like, hey, we're going to be talking this kind of naughtiness. It'll be on the board at some point, hopefully by Wednesday. And you guys are fabulous. Thank you guys for making Halloween so much fun and dark and a little creepy, you know, because, you know, I kind of don't want any gumbo anytime soon, but it's all right. So any last words, my sweet?
No, have a great week, everybody. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Okay, sweetheart. Love you. You guys are fabulous. Thank you so much for calling and sharing time. I appreciate it. You always make Sundays fun. Can't ask more than that. It's awesome. So you guys have a wonderful, wonderful day or night or whatever it is for you, because you guys are kind of split for me. So good night, guys.
Night.
Good night. My pretty bird.
Good night.